We're very, very, very pleased to have in the studios Councillor Barry Calbert, Western Sydney Regional Organisation of Councils President, and Kelly G, WesRock's Policy and Project Officer. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
We're just really delighted that you come and tell our listeners, because we live in Western Sydney, our lifestyle, everything we do is directly and indirectly related to Western Sydney and our life. Heat. We kind of just walk around and sometimes just say it's too hot or it's not hot enough or things like that. But heat has a very important part to play in the life cycle and in the biological cycle. Why is heat an issue for people in Western Sydney?
I think what a lot of people don't realise is that in Australia we have a lot of natural disasters and people die from floods and fires and what have you. But the biggest killer of all the natural disasters is heat. Heat kills more people. Yet for some reason in Australia, we just dismiss it and say, oh, it's a hot day. But if you go to the hospitals and see the number of people that come in on hot days with heat exhaustion and dehydration and a whole range of other things, especially older people, it is the biggest killer. And WesRock has been trying to work with local councils to do something about it. Now, in the regional areas where you've got miles and miles of open space, you may not be able to do much about the heat, but in urban areas you can address the problem. And that's what WesRock's trying to do. And I've brought Kelly along today to go into some of the specifics of how we're going to do that.
I think that what you're talking about with regards to heat makes a lot of sense, and because if you see anecdotally parents and elderly, it's all around heat, making sure the baby's not dehydrated and all of those things. So it's a very relevant topic that you're talking about, and particularly at your level of Western Sydney and the increasing urbanisation. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Kelly, can I ask you, if I may, and I'm really delighted that you're here. What is Western Sydney Council, WesRock, doing as an overarching group to try and address this issue? Because it is a really big issue.
It is, and it's a complex issue, and heat comes from a range of sources. As Councillor Calvert's mentioned, in urban areas it occurs because a lot of the materials we use to build our city, so asphalt, cement, bricks, hold on to and absorb heat and then keep and hold on to that heat a lot longer than it would be in a natural environment where overnight it cools down. So over time, if you do have a number of hot days, the heat rises over the course of a few days. But also, I guess, at that broader issue, issues like climate change we know are going to cause more hot days in future. So councils collectively, we're looking at a few different areas. At that climate change level, we've got a Western Sydney Energy Strategy, which is looking at reducing emissions, transition to renewables, all those types of things at that front end. But then we're also looking at a range of programs to look at planning and urban regulations for new buildings, for cooling, planting trees, using lighter colours that actually reflect the heat as opposed to absorbing, and even increasing impermeable surfaces. So that might be just, you know, grassy areas where the water can soak in, but it might also be roads that are more permeable that allow water to absorb so they don't build up that heat.
I was going to ask there, Kelly, thank you for coming in the studio. It's great to have you here on Spotlight with Jim and myself. The smart element, can we be smarter? And I understand there's some new technology, even with, say, road asphalt, even while it's still dark, even while it's still be hard wearing, it's actually a cooler asphalt. Do you know about that? And can you tell us a bit more about that as well?
Not in a great deal of detail. However, I know that a few of our councils are trialling new technologies, and I guess that's one of the really great things we see as a regional organisation, as different councils are testing different things. So there are councils who are trialling permeable asphalt, which has it's a more porous, it has little holes in it that allows the water to absorb and actually cools down that surface. But there's also products that are coatings that go on top of existing roads. And Blacktown and Parramatta Council have actually been trialling a product that it's a coating that reflects more heat and prevents that road surface from actually heating up. So there's a few different ways we can tackle it, but it's really about testing and trialling different surfaces for different situations.
What are your thoughts, if I may, and I might be going a bit off topic here, and please take me back if I can, but what people can do with the houses they build? I think we see much yes. more, we might call them McMansions, where you think, well, where are the eaves? Eaves have a
role.
Have a role, but you see no eaves because everyone wants to push their walls to the boundaries. Yep. What are your thoughts there as
well? Yeah, I think it's very understandable given the hot climate we have in Western Sydney. We spend a lot of the year indoors in cooling, so it makes sense that people want big indoor spaces. But at the same time, there is a lot more, you know, in terms of eaves. There's a really good example which actually shade the side of the building from heating up. Lighter coloured roofs that reflect more heat, because as if we're building, you know, houses without eaves, houses without insulation, houses in dark colours, and we're absorbing heat, we're actually increasing the amount of energy and air conditioning we need to use, which is a problem for energy bills. It's a problem, you know, for issues like climate change and emissions. And it's also a problem for the reliability of our energy grid if everybody is drawing down on that power.
I want to talk about that, if I may. With if I can call Barry in the context of that. In terms of legislation, Darren asked a really good question. I think your response is excellent in terms of the practical things. But in order to cover the large land masses and the increasing in airspace of buildings and all of that, you're trying to do a coordinated effort to try and reduce heat or control heat. Is that a difficult task in a legislative sense?
It's very difficult, Jim. You see, you've got a whole lot of pressures. We've got a growing population and people need housing. And, of course, developers want to squeeze as many houses as they can on the area they've got. And councils are trying to reduce that push and say, no, have a few less houses. But there's always this this battle going on between the two sides. Now, what we're trying to do in Wesrock is to take it away from that. Instead of having battles all the time and people arguing, let's get together and have a plan that everyone is happy with that allows quite a bit of housing but does it in a way that protects the environment, keeps houses cool, keeps the streets cool, that sort of thing, so that we plan for the future. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to take sides and make the battle worse. We're trying to solve the problem through consultation and discussion and good planning.
And I think that's the most operative concept and terms that you used, Darren, with regards to operative planning, the whole concept around livability, about making it conducive to things. No, already?
Break time.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Well, we're really delighted to have Barry and Kelly from Wesrock here telling us and helping us understand the concept of heat as a big issue in Western Sydney. You're on Alive 90.5 with Darren and Jim on Spotlight. We'll be back in a minute.
Alive 90.5. Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years' worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 20 minutes past 10, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren.
We're very fortunate to have in the studios Councillor Barry Calvert, Western and Sydney Regional Organisation of Councils President, and Kelly G, Wesrock's Policy and Project Officer. And this morning, we're looking and trying to examine the concept and the complexity of heat and the impact it has on people's lives. Kelly, tell us about, you know, how it really affects people and who does get affected by the heat, because it is really serious, as you were saying in the break.
It is really serious. There is a lot of people are affected by heat. And to start with, it's important to point out that really healthy people can be easily affected by heat. There was a bit of research done at Liverpool Hospital a couple of years ago where they were testing who was coming in, and it was actually the majority of people were healthy middle-aged men who had gone out mowing the lawn or cleaning the gutters,
like Darren and myself,
playing sport in the heat, and had actually just given themselves heat exhaustion just through their choices.
Or cycling.
Cycling is a big one, yes.
Happened to me.
So which part of that were you, Jim? Were you the middle-aged, the healthy? Which one?
No. He's a cyclist, I'm sure.
No comment, Mr. President.
But seriously, people from 65 years of age, your body's ability to regulate your own temperature does start to decrease. But really, 70, 80, 90, it quickly becomes much, much more of a serious issue. Also, for really young people, so babies and infants, their ability to cool their bodies hasn't quite developed yet, so they're at greater risk, as well as people with chronic health conditions. And also another big one is lower income groups who can't necessarily afford air conditioning or afford to get to a cool space.
And would we put pets into this category
as well?
Of course,
yes, of course.
Good question, Darren.
Pets, dogs, cats don't sweat, so... it's really important to make sure they have shade and water because, again, they are not that great at sweating, so they can't actually, you know, regulate their own body temperature as effectively.
So can people help themselves in this regard as far as heat, helping to reduce heat, say, in their own homes?
Absolutely. And there's some really simple things you can do and there's some bigger term investments that people could think about over the longer term. So really, in the first instance, what you really want to do is plug the gaps. Make sure that if you are cooling the inside of your house or heating as we're going into winter as well, the more you plug those gaps, the more the air stays in or keep the air out. So you're keeping that regulation of temperature. Windows are really another really important part of the home. So externally, that means shading the windows and stopping the sun from hitting your windows, whether that's through shade cloth, plants or shutters. And internally, that can be done through really thick curtains that keep that heat out and draw them really closed. In terms of, you know, bigger investments, if you are looking to renovate, paint your home, replace your roof, choosing lighter colours is always a really good option. I don't know if you've ever sat in a black car on a hot day, but black cars get really, really hot because they're drawing in all that sun and that heat energy. So the same thing, if you've got a black roof on your house is going to get a lot hotter than a house with a light coloured roof.
And how about insulation? What can we do there?
Yes, insulation. So, and you know, your roof is protecting your home from the sun all day long and your roof cavity gets really hot. So having that barrier there, insulation, to keep that heat out of your living spaces is one of the most important things you can do. And if you have the opportunity to insulate walls as well, that's fantastic. But roof insulation is a really good first step.
Now, we're not all paramedics and we're not all trained to look after people, but how can I look after my neighbour to make sure they're not getting affected by heat?
So really easy. First step is just checking in on people. As I guess everyone would relate, when it gets really hot or really cold for that matter, we all tend to retreat indoors and, you know, into our air conditioning or our heating where we're comfortable, and that can really leave people without access to air conditioning or heating. Really isolated and vulnerable. And, you know, bushfires and floods get a lot of media attention and we'd be familiar with some of the images that came through from the Hawkesbury area a few weeks ago. Mm. But heat really isn't visually dramatic and a lot of people forget that there can be people out in the community suffering. So the best thing to do is to check in on people, whether it's a call or whether it's visiting. And maybe if you do have air conditioning, invite them over for the afternoon, have a cup of tea, let them enjoy your cool space if they don't have their own.
Sounds wonderful, and I'd love to have a cool space and maybe a cool drink. The energy puzzle of this all and actually making energy something that's not as impacting on the environment or climate change and therefore making our heat issues not as bad as we go forward into the future. What is the best thing that the councils of Western Sydney can do to help manage the energy puzzle?
Well, what Wesrock's been trying to do is to... pool the councils together and buy electricity through cheaper sources. And the electricity we're buying now or getting councils to buy comes from solar farms out in the west of New South Wales. And we're increasing that all the time so that the councils themselves aren't chewing up coal manufactured electricity. And what we want to do is spread that to the whole community. That's a big task, but I think the market will push it that way over the next 10 years or so.
Is that including our streetlights?
It will include streetlights. Some of the streetlights are run that way and some aren't. The streetlights, however, don't actually belong to council. Council just pays for them. I think I've mentioned that before.
Yes, true. Yes, we have. We have. I remember now. Yes.
Yeah. The power poles.
Yes.
So we can't get up there and change them ourselves or change, but we're looking to promote that and make that happen through negotiation with the state government and the electricity bodies.
Barry, can I ask you just one final question? And it's really like closing your eyes and projecting the next 20 years. What would you like to see in your images of Western Sydney and in your role as president? Like, what? Tell us how you've tried to combat that through the universities and other partners. What would it look like?
Well, what it would look like to me is that new housing estates would be built with greater areas of green space. Houses would be collected into groups rather than big long lines where the walls butt up against each other. There'd be space between the houses. And I'd like to go back to the old style of verandas. I mean, we grew up with verandas. Mm-hmm. And
we did.
It is actually the best cooling mechanism. There's no doubt why people out in the West have these big verandas. It works. And Western Sydney is now at least as hot as some of those areas out there, and that's where we should be going. And it should be water features, because when you have water features like wetlands, it actually lowers the temperature. And the trees that we plant, instead of being those pencil pines which give you no shade, they should be canopy trees that give shade to the whole street.
What's your favourite canopy tree?
Well, that's a good question.
You must have a favourite.
Well, we were talking about jacarandas before. They look beautiful. They do a good job, but they're pretty messy. But, you know, trees are to that shape of what I'm talking about.
Indeed. And we have a jacaranda and a silky oak. And I think a lot of the Hillshire has jacarandas because of the flavour of the 70s, 80s when a lot of the areas were developed.
I was just really interested in the concept of the randa, because you've only got to take, you know, middle of Australia, the farming, you know, 200 kilometres from the coast. And that was a centrepiece for social interaction, but it also was there strategically because it was cool.
Yes. But the problem is, if you put a veranda and a space between the houses in a street, you might only get 10 houses, whereas if you do it the way we do it now, you might get 20 or 30. And it's all about that, and we need to change that. And we need to make the emphasis on cooling rather than squeezing people in.
Well, Kelly, as you said, and given us, research has given a difference of around about 10 degrees from one point to another from the coast, and that's huge in relation to that. Look, we've run out of time. It's been fantastic for you, Kelly, and Mr. President of WesRock. Barry, we're absolutely delighted that you come in and share with us what you're trying to do for people. And we're very appreciative here at 90.5 on Spotlight with Dan and myself. Have a wonderful day, and we can't wait for you to come back and help us understand more about what's happening in Western Sydney.
Thanks for having us.
Have a great morning.
Alive 90.5.